It's Leon. There's like a crackling sound, so I don't know whether it's you're moving, the other phone is up close by your clothes or something, so there's a crackling sound sometimes.
Wait a minute.
It's Leon, it's there when you're moving, but as long as you don't move.
If I stay completely still.
Yeah, like Sam Vokes, just don't move.
Yeah.
Be completely static. Chris, welcome, Podcast Pearl Droid, episode number 79. Rich and Leon, in true like award style, can't be with us tonight. I mean, you can never be with us, Leon, actually, to be fair. But Richard is beaming in from somewhere, I think it's very exotic, is it, where you are now? Is it very sort of warm and tropical?
Well, Chris, good evening. I'm calling in from the People's Republic of Montana. Are you guys in a different time zone in Llandaff?
In Llandaff North, we're about 10 years ahead of you lot, for sure. We've already gained independence, and I can tell you now, it is a good thing. It's a sweet thing. It's a glorious future lying in wait for you, Rich. We're going to talk about the Trinidad game. It was a Friday night, so Trinidad was 2 nights ago. Slovakia is 2 days' time. We weren't able to do anything previewing the Trinidad game. And I suppose it's not a huge amount to say about it, really, is it? Which isn't the best way of setting up a podcast, I can appreciate, but it is what it is, isn't it? It was a midweek, friendly, experimental, inexperienced, raw lineup. Is that fair, or...?
I think, from my point of view, the main thing was about Wednesday night was that it happened. We had a game in Wrexham. And whatever happened in the game, we'll go on to analyse the game a little bit, I'm sure. But just the fact that we were back at a racecourse after 11 years... which is far too long, is really important. And I've sort of been banging on about it for a while, but it's because I think it's important and it needs to happen more often and it needs to be less than 11 years before we go back again. The fact that we have sort of fobbed off for years a lot of the North Wales fans with excuses about why we couldn't take friendlies to Wrexham, which it turns out were all just nonsense because there was sort of nothing different about the ground, okay, they had to put up some extra floodlights and stuff like that, but these issues could have been solved years ago. There was no reason to have an 11-year gap without any Wales games in the north. I'm just really delighted that it happened. I watched it on TV here in Innsbruck in the pub, and you know, I was the only one watching. My other Welsh football supporting mates couldn't make it, so they weren't going to put the sound up for me, so I, you know, people's complaints about the atmosphere, they sort of didn't really make any difference for me because I was just absolutely delighted to be my local pub watching the racecourse, a full racecourse on TV, and it just, to me, it just looked glorious to see Wales out of playing a full racecourse again. It was beautiful. The game itself was kind of secondary.
Yeah, I completely agree with the sentiment. I mean, it's crazy that it's been that long and it needs to happen a lot more. And I also kind of agree, to an extent, the game was secondary. I mean, it would be a game, or it could be a game, if things don't go well, that people will then look back on and will have various assessments of. But hopefully it'll be a game that'll be forgotten because there's far more important positive results to come, I think.
I think there's been a little bit of a sneering attitude in some quarters about the game going to Wrexham. And I think it's sort of a frustration with how the game went and sort of like a disappointment at how, certainly in like midfield and up front, how callow that team was. But people have sort of projected that onto the town and onto the ground, which I think is massively unfair. But there's this sort of interesting comparison where people are trying to big up their kind of Wales away credentials, how many away games they've gone, and then we're commenting on the atmosphere of that game and other aspects of the ground, having not made the effort just to go to Wrexham, which I thought was an interesting irony. You're right, it's an important town. It's a huge, hugely important town in the and stadium in the history of the national team. There's clearly a bit more work, you know, a lot of work that needs to be done to ensure it can have an equally rich future. But I agree with you. I was always slightly suspicious at how or how lacking in transparency the whole rationale behind not being able to take games there had been. And the ground, you mentioned, Leon, a couple of little elements they had to do to bring the ground up to scratch, but they did those and it performed admirably well. I mean, it's a shame that the cop's not open. I mean, I was behind the goal, which I haven't been in that stand, I mean, maybe like 20 years. And I kind of, from that angle, looking directly at the cop, you forget how big a stand that is. So if we can get that back into commission, then there's going to be a bright future. But I agree with you, it was great to be back. Big shout out to Gareth, to Buzz Boncath for driving. Nice to meet his mate Oz on the way up. And it was also a lot of Southwellians as well, walking a mile in the shoes of the Gogs as well for once, on a rare occasion. And there was a few people making reference to that. So that's important as well. Yeah, but I can understand the frustration that people had with the game itself. There was some noise sort of going around as the in a couple of the pubs I was sort of knocking around in about how really disappointed people were with the lineup. But to be fair, Giggs has made his reasons clear. There's a couple of niggling injuries. He did say he was going to give like quite a strong first choice-ish first half and then change. But I think the injuries and just maybe just being a little bit short match fitness, certainly in the case of Bale, he decided to go for quite a raw midfield and an attack. And that's why Ashley Williams starts, you know, Gunter comes back in and starts, Taylor starts, because you can see he's gone. And even experienced defence, provide a bit of platform. You know, I thought Ward should have started for weeks. I thought that this was the game for him to start. But as soon as he's going for that back four, he's going to go, do you know what? I'm going to go with the goalkeeper that's been training with this squad for, what, three seasons now? I've got firm foundations and I'm going to see if we can just provide, you know, allow that to provide this really youthful midfield and attack then to express themselves. And they struggled a little bit, but there were glimpses there.
I imagine probably similar to what you're saying and to what Giggs had alluded to, that there would be like a couple of big names in each half perhaps, or there would be certainly, and I kind of figured that might be nice to demonstrate maybe some of the stuff they've been working on in a match environment. But on the other hand, I guess it simply was not worth the risk. Because I think Giggs probably realises that this is a huge, huge game coming up that he has to win and he has to have all his players available for. And it was quite a pragmatic thing. See, he would have been fully aware that people will have been irritated by that selection. But he also kind of comes across, you guys, I think, both have listened to the Ellis James interview. He comes across as being quite steely and quite focused on only what he wants to do. So he was never going to bow into pressure from the public to play big games in a friendly. All of this will become relevant or will just fade into obscurity as long as we beat Slovakia on Sunday, really. I don't particularly think anyone really enhanced their case. I mean, Hedges did well, but I mean, you have to take into account the opposition for that. I was surprised maybe Wilson and Matondi didn't start. I wasn't quite sure the idea of having them on the bench and then not really giving particularly Matondi all that much time. But again, that could well be because they will be expected. Certainly Wilson, I imagine, will start. But Matondi probably might be lined up to come on as a sub. So, I mean, I don't know. It's difficult. It's really difficult to talk about this game without knowing what's going to happen on Sunday against Slovakia, I think.
I didn't really have a problem with the selection. And yeah, like you say, Giggs was very clear about what his thinking was. And he's also just mentioned several times that we have an advantage over Slovakia in that they had a game yesterday, a qualifier, which they won against Hungary. But then they've got to travel and then play us. And we've got an advantage here in that we're going into this fresh. And I think the Denmark away game is in his thinking because Denmark's players were on strike or whatever for their friendly that was supposed to take place that week, and we had the game against Ireland, and then we went away to Denmark and all their big guns came back and they deservedly beat us. So I think that's kind of in his thinking, that he absolutely wants to maximise our advantage against Slovakia on Sunday because it's a massive game and it is it does feel a bit like a must win, really, in that we're at home and that they're likely to be our main rival for second. You would think probably that Croatia are big favourites to win the group, and us and Slovakia would be the most likely teams to be battling it out for second spot.
You sort of alluded to this, Rich, a bit earlier at the start, when if you think back to the last time we played Trinidad, so it was a May bank holiday, it's the end of the season, it's pre-World Cup, we're not going, it's in a neutral venue from the perspective of the two countries, and Glyn Garner makes his debut, and Aaron Davis turns out to just be a one-cap wonder, and Jason Brown gets a little run out for his debut, and then some other 16-year-old plays, you know. And in quite kind of, you know, not particularly flash surroundings, no huge focus on the game, it's still an important fixture in the last sort of few years, because, you know, that 16-year-old is Bale, obviously, and so the game takes on a huge significance in retrospect, and you can kind of say, well, maybe this is the goal that gets Woodburn's career back on track, and we'll look back to this Trinidad game where he chests it in, and he tried really hard. You could see he was absolutely busting a gut, and it wasn't quite going for him. So you never know. In 5 years' time, this game looks suddenly a lot differently, and we start looking back a bit more fondly on it. I don't know.
Yeah, I thought Woodburn was really good. Well, he started quite nervously, and you could tell he was kind of lacking a bit of confidence. But he really grew into it, and I was really pleased for him that he scored. He deserved it. He really kept going, and it was quite... it was hard for him because they kept pumping it towards him, and he was up against some giant centre-backs, and he's not a giant himself. And he managed to win a few headers, but just couldn't get any power on it or direct them properly. It was great. Finally, from across, right at the end, which I thought was a really good cross from Will Volks on debut, who also I thought did well. Also, what was good was to see the celebration, and you could tell that goal really meant a lot to him. He went over to Volks to celebrate, and then the crowd got involved as well. And I can't remember seeing a goal scored in a friendly kind of celebrated like that for quite a while.
I saw a few people say how Woodburn was our standout player. I've heard other people say that Volks was. I think the BBC gave Ryan Hedges man of the match. I thought Tyler Roberts did okay. I was really impressed with George Thomas. He was the one that made the most impression of me of all the. He was some really, really good movement, which I could see really, really well from behind the goal. There's a crop of players coming through again in the same way there was with your Bale and your Ramses and your Allens, etc. And they seems to be a really good spirit and camaraderie amongst them, and a strong kind of bond and connection, which came out in the goal, I think. Again, that's important, that they all play these games together rather than just one or two getting a cap here or a substitute appearance there. I think what's interesting with his cap is Volks, most players get the luxury of making their debut surrounded by Bale and Ramsey and Allen and Ashley Williams, etc. Whereas, you know, he basically had to lead and set the pace and the tempo of that performance, you know, right from the word go on his first cap. So I thought it was a big responsibility he was given. I thought he did really, really well. It reminded me a little bit of when Brian Stock got his first cap. Do you remember?
Yeah, I thought that a little bit as well. But I think maybe he's got a bit more. He'll have a bit more about him than Stock. I don't know. I was impressed. I thought he was really good. And I think he's the captain at Rotherham, isn't he? You can tell leadership is part of his game. I've heard some people saying he's put himself in the frame to start on Sunday. I don't think that's likely, but it looks like someone who will go on to win more caps than Brian Stock, I think. Anyways, that's for sure.
Well, he can go on to win more caps than Brian Stock by just playing in the next two games, so it's not exactly a huge a huge challenge. What do you reckon, Rich? Volks to start on Sunday?
Well, I really don't think so. I guess like what we do in midfield will be relatively interesting for that game, and that will have an effect on selection. Missing like Ampadu not being fit is a big, big blow for us. I can't really see. Like I kind of said before, I can't really see anyone unexpectedly, based on the who played against Trinidad and Tobago, forcing their way into the starting team. I mean, it would be a huge call to put Volks into the team. I mean, that would be an enormous decision to make. Giggs has zero goodwill. I think he's on a complete kind of neutral point now. Everything he does from now is going to be judged. Honeymoon is well and truly over for him. I think the fact we won doesn't give him any credit, but it means he doesn't lose loads and loads it would have been a disaster for Giggs had we lost, or even if we'd drawn, I think. Just purely in terms of the fan response. He'll get a pass on Trinidad and Tobago and the selection and everything, as long as we start winning competitive games. I can't see Vokes starting against Slovakia. That would be an enormous call to make.
So who do you think then alongside Joel, and do you think it'll be Matt Smith?
I think it will be, and I'm basing a lot of that on Giggs's comments about how, I mean, he's been speaking about Matt Smith, which you would tend to think would be an indication. I mean, it's kind of bigging the player up publicly. Why would you speak about him unless he was going to be involved? But he was also talking about how Ramsey's preference is to play 10, and he thinks he's better there, but he can also play the slightly deeper role as well. So that could be a kind of preparation for Ramsey maybe having to do a job a little bit further back against Slovakia. But I mean, I think our forward options are fantastic. But for this particular game, with Ampadu being out, the midfield, that's a big, big decision to make. And I think it's fairly straightforward in defence.
What would be your teams then for Sunday? And in what formation? Like, what would you pick and what do you think Giggs will do?
Well, I think he likes flat back four. And I think that sort of simplifies things a little bit. I think it's quite telling that Conor Roberts didn't play, Ben Davis didn't play. And I think, I mean, he probably starts because Chester's absent. For me, I don't think he starts because he didn't play against Trinidad. I think he was always going to play because Chester's unavailable. If Chester's available, I guess I would see Meppen probably start in that Trinidad game, and you give him the Ashley Williams role perhaps. But I thought Dummett did okay. I mean, I've seen people saying how impressed they were with him. He was barely tested. I mean, they offered very, very little up front. So I don't think we can form any opinion really on Dummett personally. I don't think you'd go into a game against opposition like Slovakia, certainly better sides than Slovakia, with him as left of two centre-backs. I just don't see it for me. So I think Meppen then starts. I think he plays a flat back four. I can see Ashley Williams playing again, obviously. Again, I just look at the squad and I don't think there's a huge amount of options other than Smith, really. And he trusts him because he started him in Dublin gigs. So that sort of picks itself. It's obviously Allen and it's obviously Ramsey. Bale, I think he'll play up front. And then it's a question of, I don't know, I think clearly Wilson, but is it Brooks?
Brooks, surely.
I'm guessing it probably is. It's a question of where he puts him. It's whether he wants him wide. I don't know, is it Matondo? Is it Dan James? He's played most of his Wales games wide, Brooks has, but I don't know, I just think he's got so much about him. I think it'd be great if we can just see him a little bit more central, but you're not going to play him in Ramsey's role unless Ramsey's going to have to, you know, sit a bit. And then we've got the old Ramsey-Allen, no double midfield axis, which hasn't been great. So I don't think this is on a plate for Giggs by any means. I think he's under a little bit of pressure because we need to win as well, I think. There's no think about it. I know we have to win this game. We've got to. I agree with you, Rich. I think it's a massive, massive miss not to have Ampadu. Already that stature now for us, and it's also about potentially sort of lack of options to a certain degree, which is possibly a bit unfair on Smith, that without him suddenly you think, oh crikey, you know, we're having to move Ramsey around to accommodate him and bring Brooks into a different role that he's played to date. That's quite some compliment for Ethan Ampadu, really,
considering he's 18 years old. It's amazing how quickly he's a definite first choice player for us. Matt Smith has been a regular for FC 20 this season, who are top, I think they're still top, of the Dutch second division. He's got quite a few games under his belt, a decent level for a teenager, and he looks a quality player, so I think Giggs should go with Matt Smith alongside Joe Allen and play Ramsey further forward, which is what Giggs was saying is Ramsey's preferred position. He wants to be further forward, he wants to be able to link up with Bale. So I'd like to see Ramsey play further forward, a kind of attacking diamond in a way. I suppose if you've got Ramsey playing number 10, Bale up top, and then sort of Wilson and Brooks or Wilson and James either side of them. So it's quite exciting. It's an exciting attacking lineup.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I mean, I think with Ramsey as a 10, you can count on him, although it's not his natural strength. at certain points in the game, he can drop back in and make it a three with Allen and Smith. I mean, yeah, Smith is the guy I'd go for in that. And yeah, the fact he played in Dublin, we won, and Giggs rates that as his best performance since he's been trainer. I mean, yeah, I think Smith will play, and I'd be quite happy with that. I think definitely Brooks will end up more central, but I think for now, I think he'll be on one wing, and then Wilson at the moment is a guy who's going to be on the other side. And then yeah, Bale playing centrally. And these forward positions were like really, really well stocked. It was just, I guess, you're hoping Matt Smith turns up, because he had a kind of a little bit of a wobble early on against Ireland. Hopefully that's like a learning thing. That's not going to happen again. In terms of personnel, I'm relatively confident. I'm pretty confident. Giggs has said this. This will be his first properly competitive, serious game. So it's kind of fascinating to see what he's going to do and how he's going to respond during matches and that kind of stuff. There's some trepidation. I'm hopeful all will be good.
You trust him. He's got that experience of the game in Dublin. I'd much prefer Ampadu, it goes without saying. Of all those players that played against Trinidad, I think the one player who I think is most likely to, we're going to see, the midfielders and the attacking players, obviously Ashley Williams, I guess, but I think it's probably Matondo, actually. I can see him coming off the bench, but it does depend on context and where the game is at, and if we're looking to maybe stretch them or we're chasing the game perhaps, then that raw pace, and he's about as quick as anything I've ever seen, I can see him getting a game, which is ironic because Woodburn was the match winner.
I think the way Giggs was talking about Woodburn almost suggests to me that he sees Woodburn as like a real long-term project, like a really important player for Wales going forward. He talked about him quite a bit in the week, even before the game. Like he was investing in him, very paternalistic. And I mean, Woodburn, he still looks so young, doesn't he? And you can tell he's just got all the talent in the world. The loan spell didn't work out at Sheffield United. But like Giggs said, often the first loan spell doesn't work out for players, and I doubt Woodburn will play on Sunday because I just don't think he's played enough club games this season to really sort of justify being pitched into such a massive competitive international. But long term, he's going to be a really big player for Wales, and I think get the impression that Giggs thinks that as well.
If there's anybody who knows how to manage a talented youngster coming, making his way on the international scene from a young age, then you know, Giggs is going to know what that feels like. And you know, whatever we might think of Alex Ferguson, he managed him well in those early years. I went back and I looked at how kind of raw and how callow that lineup was on Wednesday, both the one that started and the one that finished. Here's a question for you. Of that starting 11, who was our top scorer in terms of international goals?
Ashley Williams?
Yeah. And in the finishing 11, there was only two international goals in that team. Woodburn had one, obviously against Austria. Who'd score the other goal?
I'm trying to think who finished the game, because Williams went off.
It's not Chris Gunter.
Oh, Neil Taylor.
Yeah.
Neil Taylor.
It's not really surprising that we were a little bit toothless. The other stat I liked was the number of caps of that finishing 11. You had Gunter on night winning his 94th, you had Taylor winning his 42nd, and then the next highest cap player was Woodburn winning his 10th, which goes to show how callow it was. But it might be one of those games we look back on, one or two of those players turn out to have had pretty handy careers for us.
You were there, weren't you, Russ? So,
yeah.
Do you enjoy the game, or was it just frustrating?
It's frustrating because I want us to win. I want it to be a carnival atmosphere at the racecourse. I wanted us to be, you know, pumping them 4-0 because they're not a great side. Trinidad defended really, really well, actually. They defended no wider than the width of the penalty area, which I could see perfectly well from behind the goal. And they were really well drilled. I think that's testament to Dennis Lawrence, who's quite highly rated as a coach. So I don't think enough credit's been given to them. I'm not quite sure about the atmosphere stuff, because it was all right around where I was sitting. I thought that was a little bit harsh based on some of the criticisms I've seen on Twitter the last couple of days. Drinking in pubs I haven't drunk in before a game for 11 years. So it was nice. There was an element of nostalgia about it, and I really, really, really enjoyed it. Didn't like the early start the following morning, mind. But yeah. I sat with Dan Evans, from who people will know from Desolation Radio. Sat with him for the first time for a game. I'd take a friendly back there in a heartbeat if it was my choice. But like I said at the start, I think there's a few people who've been a little bit sneering at that, which I don't get. I don't get personally, but other opinions are available, obviously.
It is a minority, but get the impression most Wales fans are sort of pleased that we've taken a game back to Wrexham again at long last, and it's not so long before the next one. Some of the most disappointed people were people taking their kids along, sort of almost promised them that they would get to see Gareth Bale, and he didn't play, obviously, and I can imagine that if you're like 7, 8 years old and you want to go and see Gareth Bale play live for the first time, and he's just sat up there in the stand, it would be a bit frustrating. It's up to these people to sort of explain to the kids that, sorry, but massive game on Sunday. And obviously the manager thinks that the right thing to do would be to keep Bale totally fresh. I mean, I just thought, considering that he'd only played one 90-minute game for Real Madrid, maybe 15, 20 minutes might have been useful in terms of fitness. But it was obviously a risk Giggs didn't think was worth taking.
Yeah, I agree. I feel that's a complex conversation to have with a 6-year-old or a 7-year-old explaining squad rotation. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I guess the way I was kind of looking at it was, if Giggs was a manager who was incredibly popular and could do no wrong, people probably wouldn't be bringing the selection up so much. The fact is, people are ready, rightly or wrongly, to jump on him. So yeah, it was always going to get mentioned. For me, I guess, like we've been saying throughout this so far, nothing really matters. It's great that we played there, but footballing-wise, as long as we win on Sunday, anything that will have been done will have been worth it. And I agree with you as well, by the way, Russ. I think Matondo probably will come on. And I know from a friend who's based in Germany, they're like mega impressed and happy with him over there, and he loves it over there. That's been a great move for him. He hasn't played every game. He's been in the matchday squad when he hasn't played. But yeah, he loves it there, and they're very, very happy with him. And they've changed their head coach. But I guess the way it works there is it's not really the trainer that buys the players. So that's working well for Matondo. So yeah, hopefully he'll come on and have an impact.
The group has already started, of course, in terms of fixtures. There's points on the board for teams. It was Azerbaijan that scored the first goal of the group, which probably wouldn't have probably got some decent odds maybe on that. I don't know. Did you catch any of the other games?
I didn't see them, just kind of following it on Twitter and live score last night. But Phil Stead was watching the Croatia-Azerbaijan game, I think, and mentioned that, I mean, it was, you know, Croatia dominated and they just had 20 shots or something, so that winner was always coming even though they left it late. I think it goes to show there's no pushovers in the group, and Azerbaijan, that's their toughest game, and they nearly got a point, you know, away in Croatia. So it's not going to be easy. Tough place to go as well, Azerbaijan. We've got a pretty good record there. I think 2 wins and a draw, perhaps. But there's no San Marino in the group, is there? There's no, like, Liechtenstein. In Hungary, we're at the last Euros. I always expected Slovakia to beat them at home because I saw Slovakia at the Euros when in Bordeaux, and then I stayed on in Bordeaux a few days because Austria were playing Hungary a few days later. So I saw Hungary live 3 years ago, and they're all right, but you know, Slovakia are a better team. There's no doubt about that. So I always expected Slovakia to win that game. They make quite hard work of it, apparently, you know, and they were sort of tiring towards the end. They got the second goal, kind of made it safe. When was that scored? In the 80th minute or something? Towards the end, anyway. So they've put a bit of effort into winning that game, and then they've got 2 days rest, and then they come to us. These things are an advantage for us. Should be fresh, and we should, you know, definitely should be confident about beating them, even though they're a decent team with some very, very handy players. Yeah, I expect Croatia to probably win the group and for us and Slovakia to be battling it out for second.
Well, anything less than 3 points is, really doesn't bear thinking about, really. Should we do predictions?
I will say, I think we're going to win. I think we'll win. I think it's going to be 2-0 to us.
Yeah, I was going to say that as well, actually. I think if you look at our attacking options, I think Ramsey's going to be a big player for us. He's been in brilliant form for Arsenal. Maybe he hasn't had a, you know, massive game for us for a little while, and maybe it's about time, and perhaps more than Bale, he might be our match winner on Sunday. 2-0.
I reckon Wayne Hennessy will be unavailable at the last minute and Ward will have to come in. There'll be this clearance off the line by, I don't know, maybe Ben Davis. Yeah, I was going
to
say,
we've got Johnny Williams on the pitch to win his free kick, so
we don't.
He's injured.
He was going to come on as a substitute to shin it in. It'd be nice to see some goals. My lad Morgan's going. He still hasn't seen Wales win, so I'm hoping he's going to see a victory for the first time. So I'll say 3-1 then.
We're all pretty confident then. It's good.
Okay, should we leave it there? I want to get it edited quickly and out and available for people sort of driving down from North Wales and West Wales and wherever else they're driving from. You're going to be able to find somewhere to watch it over there, Leon?
Yeah, I'd probably end up going to... They have these places here, they're like betting shops crossed with bars, and they're called Sportwetten. And it's like... You don't have to bet. You can go in and you can have a beer or coffee or whatever. They have like several screens up. So I'll probably have to go there because the Irish pub doesn't open till late on a Sunday. That's what I'll be doing. I just wanted to mention, by the way, if you haven't seen it, go watch the Gareth Bale BT Sport thing where he's talking about all the shirts that he's worn, because it's a really great little sort of 10-minute interview with him, and he comes across really well.
He does. It is. I like that. It's really, really good. I watched it this afternoon, and I won't give any spoilers away, but he's asked to pick two shirts. The pretense, he's got to run into back into a burning building, can only take two shirts, so which one's he going to take? And that was lovely. Yeah. So anything else to add, Rich?
Well, I was just going to say, in a show of solidarity with our Celtic cousins, commiserations to Scotland on a difficult night for their qualification hopes. Well, that's a terrible shame. But there we go. There's always next time.
They've got the playoffs anyway, because they won their Nations League group, didn't they? So they get a playoff spot. So maybe they're
coasting. Yeah, maybe they're
coasting. Yeah, because they know they've got that spot wrapped up. And
coasting to 3-0 away. Yeah. Against Kazakhstan. Oh, fantastic.
That's a Wales in the mid-90s, isn't it?
Or as my Morgan called them, Kakistan. I think he was mispronouncing Kazakhstan, but he might have just come up with an absolutely brilliant new name for Scotland.
Surely that should have been a tabloid headline if it wasn't Kazakhstan free Kakistan.
Nil. Ingenious. Let's leave it there. So the betting and drinking, that sounds like a lethal combination, Leon. I hope that goes as does Johanna know about these things?
Sunday should be safe.
Hopefully catch up with you on Sunday as well, Rich, and safe trip to everybody else coming down.
Enjoy the game. Yeah, make some noise. Yeah.
Will do. Yeah, 100%.
Till next time.
All right.
Okay.
Bye bye.
La 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 la